you know, maybe one or two women are let in and say, but just you, nobody else can. And so you need to uphold the patriarchy in order to stay here.
Hey everyone, I'm Karima, aka The Blurred Girl, and this is The Blurred Girl Podcast. Welcome. Happy March. Happy Women's History Month. Happy International Women's Day. There's a lot going on. I'm kind of half serious. February and March are always busy months for me because it's like the only time of the year people remember who I am. Because February is Black History Month and everybody always remembers, wait, I need somebody Black to talk about this for this month. So I get calls. And then March is Women's History Month and there are less calls. I'll be honest, there are less asks in March, I would say, because very rarely am I asked for my opinion as a woman. But guess what? I'm both. And this episode addresses that, actually, in the conversation that I have with Yetide Badaki. She's the lovely actress that I talked to from American Gods. And season 2 premieres this weekend, folks, on Stars, Sunday, March 10th. So get your lives right and re-up that subscription because it's back. Because I did the same thing. I turned the subscription off when the show went off because it was the only thing I was watching on Stars. Turn it back on. Show's coming back on. So we get a chance to talk to Yetide about her career, how she got into acting, what inspires her, and her own new film that she's working on. So I can't wait to share that with you and all the stuff I'm getting into. But first, let's pay some bills. Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Now, Audible is offering listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership just for listening to the Blurred Girl podcast. All you gotta do is go to audibletrial.com/theblurredgirl. That's audibletrial.com/theblurredgirl and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs that they have to offer. You can download a title for free and just start listening. It's that easy. Go to audible.com/theblurredgirl, T-H-E-B-L-E-R-G-G-U-R-L to get started today. Now, why Audible? Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, and entertainers. And if you're anything like me, you're busy. Audible makes it incredibly easy to catch up on books while I'm commuting, cleaning the house, working out, driving, whatever. It just makes multitasking easy. Now, if I were you, I would totally take advantage of the 30-day free trial and download a book or two that you've been meaning to read. Looking for suggestions? Well, I would definitely check out Shadow Shaper by Daniel Jose Older and the follow-up to that book, Shadow House Falls. Both are incredible fantasy books, and they are narrated by actress and singer Anika Noni Rose. And she sounds amazing. It's really, really good. I listened to both of those books on an out-of-state road trip, and it made the time just fly by. Get started with Audible today. They've got a really simple app to use so you can literally listen from anywhere. Download your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/theblurredgirl. Again, that's audibletrial.com/theblurredgirl for your free audiobook. Welcome back. Okay, so first, a bit of news. So unless you've been living under a rock on another planet that's been sucked into a black hole, then you know that Captain Marvel dropped this week. Now, before I forget, so unless you've been living under a rock on another planet, I don't know, inside a black hole, then you know that Captain Marvel dropped this week. Actually, before I forget, I'm doing a giveaway. I'm giving away one Funko bobblehead of Goose the Cat. That's the giveaway that's going on right now. And I'm actually going to try and do monthly giveaways now. So this is the giveaway that's going on right now. It ends Tuesday or Wednesday, but you got to go check the website, theblurredgirl.com. You can go over there. There's no purchase necessary, but you can enter. Go to theblurredgirl.com and you can't miss it. It's right on the homepage how to enter. In terms of Captain Marvel, there's been a lot of yelling and screaming about this movie, what it means, the first feminist icon from Marvel, you know, why we have to care, blah, blah, blah. I'm not here to talk about any of that, actually. And unlike a lot of the people who are yelling and screaming about the movie who haven't watched it yet, I've seen it twice. So I do actually have some opinions about it. If you want to hear my spoiler-free take on the Captain Marvel movie, definitely check out episode 170 of Sci-Fi Wire's podcast, Who Won the Week, that I do every week over there. If you can't wait, my quick take is that it's a fun movie. If you are a fan of the comics, then prepare yourself to be a little turned around because they retcon, and they retcon a lot. But they had to because they were leading into Avengers Endgame, so I don't know what anybody was expecting. If you read the comics and didn't really care about Carol Danvers or were confused by her convoluted history, then a lot of the retconning won't matter to you. And if you have kids, especially little girls, take them. They will love this movie. It is a very strong, like, don't let anybody knock you down. In fact, Adam said it. If you get knocked down, get up again. That's the movie. They're going to love it. Lashana Lynch is amazing. Every scene that she's in, she steals. So I need them to give her more. But Ben Mendelsohn is actually quite funny. I wasn't ready for a funny Skrull, but he was very good. And Sam Jackson and Brie Larson act like they've known each other forever. And of course, you know, my fave is Coulson. And he's adorable. Now, it's not a perfect movie. I definitely have some thoughts on things that bother me about it. But I'm going to go into that in another episode. Why? Because I want you to see it and form your own opinions. I am so tired of folks fighting over this movie and other movies that they actually haven't seen. It's extremely frustrating. So anyway, that's Captain Marvel. In other news, Idris Elba has solidified himself as an action star and rapper, apparently, because not only is he starring as the enhanced baddie Brixton in the upcoming Fast and the Furious Hobbs and Shaw, which also stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Jason Statham, but he's also just been announced as Will Smith's replacement in the next Suicide Squad. So he will now, Idris will now be playing Deadshot instead of Smith. I'm excited. I mean, they're going to need to fix more than just Deadshot's casting to fix that franchise, but, you know, I'm here for it. We'll see. And then Wiley, he's like a grime MC, basically. He dropped a music video for his latest single called Boasty. In it, he has Stefflon Don, Sean Paul. I ain't seen Sean Paul for a minute. And Idris Elba. I thought that was a joke. Like, I saw an Idris Elba clip, and I actually thought it was for a commercial for something. Just because the way it was shot. But it actually was a clip taken from this very video. And he's good. He's got bars. And he tells you that he writes them himself. So, yeah, it was good. And, you know, so Idris is taking over Will's spot in more ways than one. He's not just acting. He's also rapping. So if you get a chance, check out the Boasty video and tell me what you think in the comments. Now, finally, I've got a bunch of things going on over the next few weeks, and I wanted to make sure you all knew about them. So this week coming up, I'm going to be out in Seattle at Emerald City Comic Con. And then the following week, I'm going to C2E2 in Chicago. So this year, basically, Emerald City Comic Con and C2E2 are back to back. And Sci-Fi is sending me to both of them, where I'll be interviewing a lot of interesting creators and talent on their live stage. Now, if you can't make it to these, that's fine. You can simply tune into the live stream by going to scifiwire.com. And you'll be able to see, like, the live stream of the live stage. And then they're also going to be live streaming some panels. So check that out, too. So next week, I'll be at the Washington State Convention Center. And I'll post my schedule up on social media, or at least on my site. But I'll be interviewing some great folks. Like, I get to talk to the voiceover cast of My Hero Academia. Yes, I will be interviewing All Might. I'm very excited about this. Comic legends like Jodi Hauser, who brought the comic faith to life. She's also written Stranger Things, Thrawn for Star Wars, a whole bunch of stuff. I get to sit down with the crew from Bitterroot, David Walker, Sanford Green. And it's they're not clearly the only people I'm talking to, but I'm really excited about this. So it's basically March 14th through 17th. You've got to check it out. Then the very next week, I'll be at C2E2. That's the Chicago Comics Entertainment Expo at McCormick Place. That's the convention center in Chicago. The place is gigantic. It's got like two zip codes. I'll be there talking to more amazing people. This time I'll be talking to even more amazing people, like the cast of Dragon Ball Super Broly, the movie, a roundtable discussion with several of Marvel's Black Panther creators, and I'll be hanging out there with my Radical Geeks co-host, Angelique Rocher. And that's all out in Chicago from March 20th through 24th. So again, you can see everything at scifiwire.com starting on the 20th. So let's take another break, and then when I get back, I'll tell you about who I'm interviewing today, Yetide Badaki. Do you run a hosted website on WordPress, or is your site really slow? Have you gotten hacked in the past and you just didn't know what to do? Well, if so, you need SiteGround. Now, I am a SiteGround affiliate. I'm also a customer. In fact, I switched theblurredgirl.com over to them and never looked back. In fact, I've put other people onto them for two reasons: reliability and customer service. You can try it yourself at siteground.com/go/theblurredgirl. That's siteground.com/go/theblurredgirl. Now, unlike some other hosting sites that have a really great affiliate program and seem to be really popular, many of them don't have customer service. SiteGround has great customer service. They don't talk to you like an idiot. If you can't find something, they'll help you work through it. They have a really easy control panel, and SiteGround is really the truth. You can start hosting your site today for as low as $3.95 a month. You can run a store, a blog, anything really. And they can even move your whole existing site over for you from another hosting service, and you don't have to worry about a bunch of code and stuff. So if you've been blogging or running a website for a while now, it's time to take your site and its security seriously and move up to SiteGround. Sign up today at siteground.com. That's siteground.com/theblurredgirl. So for those of you who don't know, Yetide Badaki was born in Ibadan, Nigeria, before moving to England when she was a toddler. She was about 3 years old. Then she went back to Nigeria for a while, and then came and actually settled here in America with her parents at about 12 years old. She's graduated from McGill University with a major in English literature and theater, basically, and a minor in environmental science. Badaki also has a Master of Fine Arts in theater from Illinois State University, and she became a United States citizen in 2014. I've actually been fascinated by her performance as Bilquis on American Gods. Her character actually had a very small role in the original Neil Gaiman book, but the character of Bilquis was expanded for the television series. Expanded in more ways than one. I mean, no one can forget the iconic season one scene where she's trying to basically get more power as a goddess and is literally having sex with her worshipers who she's then absorbing. It was really, really powerful. But last year, she also popped up as Chi-Chi on This Is Us. And then most recently, Badaki has written a short film called Hollywoodland, which she funded with Indiegogo. And her and Karen David produced it. And the short film was directed by Jessica Sharif. So, or maybe it's Sheriff. I'm sorry if I'm messing that name up. Yetide actually, you know, broke that down. And we had a really fun discussion. I got to ask her a lot of questions that I haven't been able to ask her before. And I've been lucky enough to meet and talk with her in person. When you're listening to this, if she sounds like a genuine, laid-back, sweet person, you're not wrong. That's not an affectation. That's actually her energy. She's just naturally a very giving, very sweet, sweet person. So without further ado, here's my interview with Yetide Badaki.
Before we get into everything that you're doing, Yetide, I've been dying to ask you where you grew up and when exactly you decided that the arts, specifically acting and performance, was what you wanted to do.
Right. So I was born in Nigeria, and I was there until I was, 3 years old, and I lived in England for 3 years until I was six, and then went back to Nigeria. That's really where it all came from, was back home, hearing those elders tell the stories by the fire. And I knew at that moment that I wanted to do that. I mean, they really were able to take you to a whole other place. But I didn't know that was, you know, acting or any of that. And it wasn't until I auditioned for our school play for Peter Pan. And for the first time, they were going to use two people from kindergarten. That didn't usually happen.
Right.
But they were picking two to be the twins for Lost Boys in Peter Pan. And I remember going up to audition for that and going, oh, this is that thing. This is that moment by the fire. And I've been hooked ever since. But for a long time, I didn't think I could do it. For a long time, it was not the practical thing to do. It was not necessarily the accepted thing to do. It's, you know, it's one of those things that it was always such a part of me. It was like breathing. No matter how hard I try to go in another direction, ultimately, this is it for me, storytelling.
Well, there you go. Now, when you went to audition for American Gods, you already knew the story. You are you're a geek from way back. So when you were growing up, what were the shows you were watching? What were the books you were reading?
Oh,
or the comics?
All of the geek stuff. I mean, oh, where to start? Of course, J.R. Tolkien in Lord of the Rings. And, oh, well, earlier would have been C.S. Lewis, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I stumbled at about 7 or 8 years old on old school Hans Christian Andersen fairy tales.
Wow.
Did not realize at that age how dark it actually was, because I came across the original stories. I had an uncle that was a professor in university, and so he had this huge volume of the really, really dark original tale.
Wow, and those were not really for children, I feel.
No, not at all. However, I did enjoy them quite a bit. And that may have led to my fascination with Stephen King. And
so you're a horror fan.
You know, I wouldn't have said I wasn't a horror fan. I mean, no, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. But it was Stephen King in particular.
Okay.
That I really, really had a fascination with. My favorite was the Gunslinger, The Dark Tower.
Gotcha.
But that had me hooked. That was everything to me. So, I mean, Ray Bradbury, and that's just in books.
Okay.
Then we got satellite TV. I remember when I was about 12. No, it would have been about between 10, 11, somewhere around there. And all these shows were coming, like Star Trek Next Generation and Quantum Leap.
Oh, Quantum Leap was awesome.
Right? And how talented did he have to be to do that?
Right.
Literally step into someone else's shoes every week. It was brilliant. Brilliant. I mean, you know me. I'm a geek.
How did you get the role then of Bilquis on American Gods? How did that come about? How did that whole audition thing come about? And what was your reaction when you landed the role?
I mean, how long do you have? No.
okay, the abridged version.
The abridged version. I mean, a lot of people don't realize I'd been in L.A. at that point for about 10 years already.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I had been doing theater in Chicago. Before that, I had been doing grad school for theater.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point in L.A., about 10 years now, doing all kinds of survival jobs, making a leap and saying I wasn't doing those anymore, which was painful, not easy. And I, through my acting class and acting studio, finally got an agent. And so how the audition came around was through, you know, the incredible innovative artist. I don't think they knew how much of a Neil Gaiman fan I was, though.
Were you excited or were you nervous?
I had that initial moment of jumping up and down and being giddy as heck. And then going, okay, let's get down to work and let's work on the scene and let's go in and do something that we're proud of.
I did not realize until very recently that you've also done quite a bit of voiceover work.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because I know you're doing some work with Nnedi Okorafor, but I also didn't realize you did some gaming voices as well.
Yes. That's actually where I met Omid Optahi, who plays Salim in American Gods.
Okay. What were you working on?
We did Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
Aha.
And that was actually my first video game. And the character is actually called Yetide Abele, which we had to go through some legal about that. Uh-huh. We worked on that, and that was maybe 3 months before we both realized we were going to be on American Gods together. And then as far as audiobook, working on Nnedi's book actually came from Twitter.
Oh, wow.
Because she put out something on Twitter saying, you know, does anyone know any Nigerian-American actors? I, you know, may need their services at some point. Then Neil Gaiman tweets back to her, yes, Yetide Badaki. And then now I just finished the third book for her. So
now which books did you do for her?
I did A Kata Witch and mm-hmm. A Kata Warrior.
Oh, wonderful.
And the one I just finished is Kabu Kabu, uh-huh. which is a collection of short stories with a foreword by Whoopi Goldberg.
That's amazing. And was that surreal that Neil Gaiman and Nnedi Okorafor were tweeting about you?
Yes. That's a whole other level. I mean, there are dreams and then there are dreams. And then you go, you know, someone's got to pinch me. This is not real right now. Yeah, it was absolutely surreal and absolutely a geek girl dream come true.
In terms of your work on the show, and you've done other shows. I mean, you showed up on This Is Us this year, although it made me nervous. I will be very, very honest, because when you showed up on This Is Us, I'll be perfectly yeah. honest, it was after Brian Fuller and Michael Green had left the show, and I thought you were leaving the show.
No.
And I was very, very nervous, and I was like, I was happy, but it was sort of like that reserve, you know, that gif of Jay-Z yeah. when he's like looking up, he's happy, yeah. he's rapping, but he's looking up in the rain, looking for the weapons. That was me. I was like, I'm happy, but...
I guess I should always just put out as a precursor that I'm a dork that loves to play. And I love to, because a lot of people only knew me for the first time from American Gods. And right. there's something that sometimes happens with actors where people go, oh, that's who, you know, that's who she is.
You're kind of owned by that character. They don't see you as a person or
right.
something.
As an actor, mm-hmm. you know, that it's at the end of the day, you're an actor going on in your, you know, and your storytelling. I just love getting to jump into different characters, which is why I do the audiobooks as well, which is why I write, which is why I love storytelling in general. So anytime there's an opportunity to expand as an artist, and sometimes it's even doing things that scare me a little bit, then I go, oh, wow, okay, that's going to take a little bit of work in this direction. I just like to do that. I like to expand. I like to keep learning and to keep growing. And it's funny because each different thing you do, I think, informs everything else that you do. And so even coming back to, I was flying back and forth between Toronto and LA to do This Is Us and American Gods at the same time.
And they're two different characters. They're two completely different. You know what I mean? Like, she's more shy versus Boquist, who is not.
And I also decided to shoot my short at the same time. So I was also, you know, doing that and producing. But they all informed, because I'd go back to Boquist now with a little bit of the heart of something else that's been touched on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See her with maybe sometimes fresher eyes. So I like, so people should not worry when they see me do several things. That's just what I like.
And it's also called working.
It's called working, right?
Now, actually, let's talk about some of those other things. Is the short that you're referring to Hollywoodland?
Yes, that's it.
Let's talk about that, because I remember you raising money on Indiegogo for that. Just share with the peoples what that's about.
So Hollywoodland is the easiest way to describe it is it's a version or a perception of Alice in Wonderland through the lens of Hollywood. And there are many characters that share similarities. There are many similar echo journeys. There is a definite trip down the rabbit hole.
Is it a literal trip? Because Hollywood.
You know what? It's a literal trip. I was about to, you know, go into the metaphors. There's a lot of, you know, metaphor work and play in there as well. But yeah, so it is a literal trip down a rabbit hole, where sometimes situations seem surreal, as we just said. So yeah, that was, you know, my little take on that, and you know, garnered from my experiences, from talking to lots of people within the industry. And it was interesting, the more we worked on that, the more we saw experiences that were also mirrored in many other walks of life. So it's something that I'm really excited to share with everyone. We're eking towards our final edit now. It's been quite a joy to work on.
So do you think we'll see it like by the fall, maybe the summer?
You know what? I'm afraid of making a promise.
Okay, but we'll see it in 2019. We'll see it in 2019.
I believe so. How's that?
That works. You like working on things that scare you, that I guess, you know, push you a little bit. What does that look like? What kind of role is that for you?
The roles that make you ask questions are not always the easy road.
Okay.
They're roles that may seem larger than life, that may seem, you know, when you first see them on paper, you go, how in the world would I even approach that? I like that. Because I like figuring it out. I like learning about the character and myself and the world through approaching these storytelling puzzles. It could be whether I go, oh my goodness, this incredible action role will require me to literally leap a 50-foot wall. I've never done that before, but that's scary and that's awesome and I want to work on it. Or it may take the form of an emotional wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the pain of loss or something like that.
Exactly.
Okay, now on the flip side, what kind of roles frustrate you? I know I'm getting a little inside the actor's studio now, but what's your favorite curse word? You know, all those things. What kind of roles frustrate you?
One dimensional. That there's nowhere to go. Where there's no depth, no layers. That's just frustrating. I think that's frustrating not only for us as performers, but for a viewing audience. I think we all want three dimensional. I think we all want layers. I think we all want complex. So yes, I get frustrated when I see a role that just is one note and one dimensional.
Now, it's interesting. You're very lucky because you are getting to play an in-depth supernatural character. Because so many women's roles and roles for women of color inside the speculative fiction, science fiction space are very one-dimensional. And you get to play, I mean, first of all, you're a goddess. Second of all, she's got a journey. She's not just showing up like we joke about, you know, everybody talks about the your amazing scene in season one. But yeah, still, if you look at the character taking a journey, going from sort of like bag lady to being like fulfilled, and her journey isn't complete, as we see at the end of season one. What can we see going into season two? Are we going to see, basically, every time I turn on the show, I want to see you. So I need to know, I need to know what journey Bilquis is taking this season.
Well, first of all, I have to say, you know, you don't get to really play with a role and really dive into so much complexity and all the different levels without an incredible creative team that allows that to be possible. You need writers that will give it many dimensions. You need, I mean, down to hair and makeup, who are telling stories themselves. Every single member of that creative team is making it possible to dive into deeper layers with character. And so for season two, I like to make the corollary that, you know, in the first season, you were really seeing Bilquis trying to survive. And in the second season, we really start to see her thrive. See her take on literally the idea of get yourself a queen, with recognizing that she is in fact a queen. And we get to go on that journey with her this season.
That's wonderful, because it's funny, when Orlando Jones's character Anansi says, get to Shadow, you know, you gotta get yourself a queen, I thought he was talking about your character. And then when they showed up on Easter's doorstep, I'm like, I'm sorry, this is not the queen I requested.
He
didn't say the queen. He said a queen. You're correct. You're correct. You're correct.
You're funny.
Now, in terms of the writing on the show that you just mentioned, do you get a chance, because you're so multifaceted and you also know not just the genre, but this story, do you get to write? Do you get to sometimes change, not necessarily change your character, but change some of the lines? Do you get to do that? Is that something that is allowed, I guess, in the creation process? Or are they?
We're very lucky to have a team and a network. I mean, I can't go on about stars enough. They're pretty incredible. But the whole team was very open to collaboration. And so I actually found, as an artist, that I was using my voice a lot more this season. And we have these incredible writers like Aditi Kapil and Heather Belson, and, you know, just being able to have a conversation back and forth with them about certain things your character is doing and your character is saying is invaluable, and it's not something you get everywhere. And then add to that, we also have some incredible, I keep on geeking out over a lot of wonderful female directors that we had this season as well. And that was one thing I was allowed to do, was to shadow this season when everyone kept on hearing how interested I was about the other side of the camera as well. And so even that in itself, and being able to observe when I wasn't, even when I wasn't necessarily called to set, that also, I think, helped to embolden my voice. Mm-hmm. And it also lent to the collaborative feel.
Do you want to direct an episode?
Yes.
Yay. No, I'd love to see that. I would love to see an episode. I mean, I would love to see you write an episode, direct an episode. I don't know if you want to do both at the same time, because that's a lot. But
we're not at the same time to start with. But that's up there. That's in the list. It's something that scares me in the best way.
That's awesome. No, and yeah, and to stretch. I mean, you are mm-hmm. doing creating things on your own, but that would be mm-hmm. fantastic. I would love to see you do that. Now, there's been mm-hmm. so much growth in the last few years around giving women a voice behind mm-hmm. the screen, both big and small. And you just mentioned some of the crew and some of the writers that are involved, mm-hmm. and also giving Black women a voice in this yeah. in this landscape, even of entertainment in general. But mm-hmm. there still is what I call this Highlander attitude, where like there can be only one.
yeah.
How do you navigate that, or what are the little things that you do to change that, or that you think we can do to change that?
Interesting thing, because I mean, and I'm glad you asked it. It's been on my mind a lot, and that I see it as it's just a further extension of the patriarchy, where literally, you know, maybe one or two women are let in and say, but just you, nobody else can, and so you need to uphold the patriarchy in order to stay here. Things are shifting. I'm finding that. I mean, it takes a lot of retrospection, checking in,
mm-hmm.
I'm always just trying to make sure I'm celebrating everyone. And even when I hear whispers of, because there's a lot of times people want to create a story of friction between women. They want to create that story. They want to hold on to that narrative. And so, if I even hear a whisper of someone, you know, trying to paint that depiction, in my part, I reach out and try and celebrate the individual that they're trying to create that feel about. And I think that allows us all to open up and go, yeah, why? There's plenty of space at the end of the day. At the end of the day, there are things that other people can do that I couldn't even approach, and I think vice versa. And I do think your thing is your thing. There's no need to bring anyone else down in order to get further in life. I don't think so.
It gets very frustrating, because I've even been in situations where someone would say, well, why would you ask her, meaning the her is another Black woman, on board, because you're here. And I'm like, what does that mean? Right. Or we already have one of you. That was actually said to me very recently. I'm like, no, you don't.
Wow.
You don't have one of me.
Yeah. It's such an interesting thing. And it's, you know, it also makes me think of how sometimes even when I think when people want to bring down a powerful woman, they often, or someone, a woman that they feel is doing well, they often, what I call recruit, I'm sure someone has written more thoughtful, you know, treatises on this, have better terms, but a lot of them know that they can't do it themselves. And I feel like they take on, recruit other women to take down a woman that they feel threatened by.
This is so true. And I've seen it in action.
All the time with whispers. And mm-hmm. it's usually just a whisper, oh, she's this or she's that. Something that's just possible enough, you know? It doesn't sound like it's that threatening.
It's like in a court of law. All you need is just a little doubt. All you need is just somebody to say when they're making a major decision, but I heard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like Socrates said, it's like, well, you know, in fighting rumors, it's like boxing shadows.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing solid to come against.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, it's often a losing battle. And I see it, even though the landscape is shifting, it's still a very prevalent practice. And so that's another thing that I'm always constantly, people know me now. It's like, okay, you can mention something about someone to me, but until I meet that person, I'm sorry, it's one in and one ear in. What's that? What do you say? In one ear and out the other.
Exactly. In one ear and out the other. Yeah. It's really funny. Whenever I meet or talk to somebody who mm-hmm. says that a Black woman is difficult, and I see that she is at a higher particular rank in media or whatever it is that she does, I usually want to talk to her. Because that means that she's probably had to put through, because you know how like difficult is the term that is used, or mean is used, is the term that is used with us.
Well, it's like, difficult, mean, prideful, all of the things that are that
divisive is my favorite.
But it's anything that's basically said, you have stretched too wide, you have, you know, you have let yourself grow, shrink back into a corner.
Yeah.
Is really what it seems like that message often is. And I think it's often reinforced by those, what I call recruited women. Yeah. Where guys like, you're cool, you don't try and do too much, which in itself is a weird, it's a weird compliment, right?
Yes.
But look at her, look at what she's doing. And then all of a sudden you have this wave. And I mean, that really solidified for me when I, you know, I came across a documentary about, what was that documentary? Yeah, about bride kidnapping.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, have you heard of that phenomenon where basically a man would go and steal a woman and bring her back to wherever his home is? And, you know, he's saying, I want her to be my bride. I want you to be my bride. And usually the woman is crying and freaked out and what the heck. But it's then the group of women in the home that then basically shame her, saying, well, it was good enough for us. Why is it, you know, not good for you? This is just how things are done. This is, it's interesting, right? And I mean, technically, the idea is supposed to be that the woman can argue her way out if she really, really, she's up against quite a few forces. And I just went, wow, that, you know, that seems like it could apply to a lot of the modern day experience for women.
It is, and you know, it's funny. There's so many times where I've had conversations with people in this very space or on these type of topics, and when they come up with things that I'm like, and it's really funny because all of a sudden I feel like a parent. I'm like, who told you that? Like, where are you getting this from?
Yeah, yes. you want to protect. And I mean, you ask, you know, about little things. I don't, you know, because it's not about me. It's about these other individuals. But anyway, along the way, where maybe I can see something that was a struggle for me coming up that I can reach out to somebody else with, I try and do that. Even if it's, you know, trying to amplify a platform, or if it's, you know, paying for a couple of classes somewhere. It's just anything I can do to reach out. And even sometimes it's just a letter of support. I am that door. I will email you out of the blue or message you out of the blue and say, I think you're amazing. Everything I see that, you know, is coming out, all the work that you're doing is just wonderful. And I just want to make sure you know that.
I have seen you do this. And it is really genuine. I've even seen you in person, like, say, look into somebody's eyes and say, like, I heard you weren't, are you okay? Are you doing better now? And it's like, it's so weird to say that that's so strange to see. But in this business, it is so strange to see authenticity. Aww. It's so strange to see nice. You're so nice.
It's okay, that even makes me cry. And I have to say, I have received that tenfold. There have been people that have reached out with just absolute kindness. And I mean, I really do see this network of women, you know, reaching out to and for each other. And it's really, really heartening. It's really heartening.
Okay. I want to know if you could choose one Marvel character to play. Would it be Storm? Or would it be Adora Milaje in the next Black Panther film?
Ooh, I mean, the Adora Milaje are pretty amazing. I mean, no, they're incredible. Storm has been a lifelong dream.
Really? Well, you know, actually, in the comics, in Reginald Hudlin's run, Storm did marry T'Challa.
I heard, yes.
You could be Storm in a Black Panther movie.
You know, people have mentioned that to me before, maybe. And yes, I am for Storm all the way, all the way.
So yeah, I think I honestly, in Fantasyland, you would make an amazing Storm.
Oh, you're so kind.
And also,
she'll be powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we haven't seen that on screen yet. Like just a powerful portrayal. Because I know they've done a couple like origin kind of things, but it's sort of like we need a powerful portrayal. I mean, years and years and years ago, I said Angela Bassett was just robbed.
Yes. I mean, could you imagine?
Entire X-Men franchise would have been very, very different had they cast Angela Bassett originally than Halle Berry, I think.
They're all lovely. They're all absolutely lovely. And that's, I think that goes back to, you know, it's just, I think we're all very hungry to see more of Storm. We've only been given little bits of her. But I think we're all hungry to just know a lot more about Storm.
And we're also hungry to see more of these incredible women on screen. Yes. I think that's the other thing I've said before. We would not be arguing so much about who is the best person to play what one role if there were 17 of them.
Right.
Or 100
of them. Exactly. How amazing would that be, right? If we could say, there's this one and there's that one and that is the dream.
Yeah, like if we had, and the other character that, or the other person that the movie that I think you should star in whenever it gets made is Octavia Butler's Parable of the Sower and Parable of the Talents. I don't know if you've read them.
I have not read those yet, but it has been a recurring theme. And I actually really need to get into that because people have been reaching out saying that it's the same exact thing, and plus it just sounds like an incredible story.
Yeah, and it's another one of those stories that it's a supernatural story that's not so far in the future that the characters have depth,
right.
and it there's Octavia Butler was so ahead of her time, and it's just one of those things that if I don't know. That's just also a role. Like, I think I cannot remember the first time I saw you. I don't think it was American Gods. I feel like it was something else. But the first time I saw you, I was like, ooh, if there was a character to an actress that could portray a character's actually his name. Oh yeah, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Be one of her names. I actually was saying like you would be a perfect character for it because. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, years ago, Parable of the Sower kind of freaked me out, and then but now in this age of all of the things that I have seen in this year, now it's not so far in the future.
So true. There's a lot, I think, that all of our eyes have been open to.
Yeah, the main character, and I just had to check to make sure I have the right name. The main character in Parable of the Sower is Lauren Oya Olamina. And she is an empath. I'm giving you all your background, but all the background you need to audition for this role. All the background. Okay, she is an empath, but she's an empath that Octavia wrote in a way that I don't think anybody's ever thought of. She's an empath, but it's a physical manifestation. So she's fantastic because she can tell what's going on nearby, but she'd be incapacitated if somebody was shot in front of her because she would feel the same thing they felt.
Wow.
It's just one of those things. But again, there's so much work out there. Nnedi Okorafor, N.K. Jemisin, Octavia Butler, all of these women have written fantastic stories that, like,
we would all love to see.
And yes, and then there would be tons of roles and we could stop fighting over the same seven black women in the MCU.
and that's what, you know what? I think that's going to be my answer now when people ask about what my dream role is. My dream role is the idea that we don't have to fight over it.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. I would love to see that happen where there's just an embarrassment of riches in that way.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for talking to me. You got to come back and tell me when Hollywoodland is coming out.
Will do. Will do.
I will be live streaming with the rest of the family for when season two premieres on Stars of American Gods.
Yay. And I just want to say thank you. I mean, what you are doing, we all need to highlight how wonderfully you have been amplifying so many voices, and what you do is incredible.
Thank you. Now you're going to make me cry. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it.
Isn't she beautiful? And shouldn't she be in Black Panther? I mean, come on. I could totally see Yetide as Storm. Don't forget to check out Yetide, Orlando Jones, Ricky Whittle, Ian McShane, and the whole rest of the American Gods cast during their season 2 premiere on Sunday, March 10th at 8 p.m. Eastern on Stars. And if you're not going to stream it live, don't forget you can also see the season premiere the same day on the Stars app. And don't forget to go to scifiwire.com to watch the live stages at both Emerald City Comic Con this week and C2E2 next week. And if you see me at either event, please bring me a cup of coffee because I'm already tired and I'm just thinking about it. So if you want to keep up with me, follow The Blurred Girl on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and sign up for my newsletter, which you can also do at the very top of the page on my website. Thanks for listening, and please don't forget to comment and subscribe and check out my podcast sponsor, audibletrial.com/theblurredgirl. That's audibletrial.com/theblurredgirl. Thanks for listening, everybody.